Man's problem of sin requires a radical change. That change is produced through the Holy Spirit, who causes a repenting sinner to be born again, become a member of the family of God. What does the Bible teach concerning sin? The answer to that question is of eternal consequence, for what one believes about sin will affect his total outlook on religion, his understanding of God, sacrifice, forgiveness, moral conduct, judgment, and every other great Christian doctrine will be influenced by his understanding about sin. It is imperative that men know the mind of God on the subject of sin. Now, God has not left us in ignorance concerning sin, for he has spoken emphatically and repeatedly on the subject. Bible doctrine underscores the reality of sin, warns of the consequences of sin, reveals the seriousness of sin, foretells of the judgment on sin, sets forth the remedy for sin, and offers the forgiveness of sin. Thank God he has revealed concerning the dread spiritual malady that is called sin. Now, what is sin? Someone might answer, sin is sexual immorality. Another might say, sin is doing wrong to another person. Yet another might volunteer, sin is violating religious principles. Now, each of those things is a sin, but there is much more involved. The Bible speaks of the nature of sin by revealing sin is an act, a state, and a disposition. A careful examination of each of those aspects of sin will answer the question, what is sin? First, sin is an act. The basic expression of sin is acts of violation or non-obedience. There are scores of words in the Bible which emphasizes the evil of wrongdoing by calling it sin. Sin is transgression. The Bible says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, transgression means to overstep the boundary set by law. It is a breaking of the law. But there's more involved than wrong action, for the spirit is involved in sinful acts. Transgression carries in its heart a spirit of open and daring defection. It acts wrong when it knows such an action is contrary to God's will. Adam and Eve committed transgression when they ate of the fruit of the tree of which God had specifically commanded that they must not eat. Now, all sin carries that spirit of transgression in its heart. But also, sin is error. It is departure from the right way. It is turning aside. It is missing the mark. God has set forth the standard of righteousness, but man misses it when he sins, and sins when he misses it. So again, the spirit is related to the act. A spirit of moral obliquity and willfulness, indicated by a lack of desire to meet God's standard and unconcern when one has fallen, accompanies the act which comes short. The Bible pictures man's plight when it reads, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Again, we must say, sin is trespass. It is the intrusion of self-will into the sphere of divine authority. The acts of sin testify to God, "I know what you want me to do, but I want to do something different. I will do what I wish and ignore you." Now, the terrible nature of sin is evident upon consideration of the spirit which prompts the action. Sin is so serious that the Bible speaks of our being dead in trespasses and sins. Again, sin is lawlessness. It is spiritual anarchy. It is the denial of God's right to govern the life of man. Now, God's law is just and holy and good. Obedience to its precepts is the best possible way for a man. But sin expresses itself in acts of rebellion against the good law of God. It insists upon following its own course as the criminal demands his right to violate the law of the land. Now, he who commits sin always transgresses God's law. But sin is not only an act, it is a state. Sin is the condition of absence of righteousness. Such a condition expresses itself in evil deeds, but the action is the result of the condition. A tree bears apples because it is an apple tree. That's the only fruit it can bear. A man does wrong because he is in sin. He cannot do otherwise. Each thing in nature acts according to its inner nature, and the nature within produces the fruit. So sin is a condition of darkness. Throughout the Bible, light is a symbol of the presence of God and righteousness, while sin is symbolized by darkness, the presence of Satan. Now, when Jesus came into the world, it was recorded, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Christians are admonished to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The great work of Satan is to keep people in sin. Therefore, he blinds the minds of them who do not believe to keep the glorious light of the gospel of Christ from shining into them. To be saved is to be delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the light of righteousness in Jesus Christ. Sin is also a condition of separation. Now, that is why sin brings death. For the basic idea of death is separation. Physical death means the separation of the human spirit from the physical body. But spiritual death means the separation of the human spirit from God. So Isaiah 59 verse 2 reads, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you." That is why Romans 5:12 declares, "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men, because all have sinned." Romans 6:23 adds, "The wages of sin is death." Sin is a condition of corruption. The Hebrew language of the Old Testament uses a word to describe sin, which means a condition of rot. Another term is used which means covered with blots and blemishes. Now, there's nothing beautiful about sin. For here is how the sinner looks to God, as described by the prophet Isaiah. "From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." There is an amazing thing about sin. It is not amazing that man has sinned. It is amazing that God loves the sinner and rescues him from his sin. The third thing, sin is a disposition. It is an attitude of enmity toward God. Romans 5:12 distinctly states that man in sin is the enemy of God. The Greek term used means hateful, odious, hostile, opposing and hating another. What a terrible accusation. And yet, the Bible declares that is the condition of sinners. Now, not merely the worst of sinners, but every sinner. What hope is there then for the sinner? Or is there any hope at all? Well, there is hope. It is announced in the Christian gospel. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, verse 8, verse 10 repeats it three times. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Or again, "God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And again, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life." The hope for the sinner is Jesus Christ. Now Jesus will reconcile you to God, removing the disposition of enmity. He will impute divine righteousness to you, relieving the tragedy of the absence of righteousness. He will produce good works through you, releasing you from bondage to evil ways. Jesus will take care of every element of sin in you. Man's problem of sin is act, state, and disposition, and it requires a radical change. That change is produced through the Holy Spirit, who causes a repenting sinner to be born again, become a member of the family of God. Enter into Christ today. Become a new creature through repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Now let us pray. Father, thank you that you have not abandoned us in our sin. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving Jesus to die for us that we might be born again. Now let every person who receives these words hear with spiritual comprehension and be saved for Jesus' sake. Amen.